Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Melissa Harris-Perry, and this is The Takeaway, where we've been discussing how teachers might approach lessons about the violent attack on the U.S. Capitol a year ago. Now, there's no doubt about it. This is a tough time to ask any more from our teachers, as we were reminded by one of our listeners.
Teachers are trying to deal with COVID this week. Nobody's teaching a lesson about the January 6th insurrection, unfortunately. Tia Creighton, San Francisco Bay Area.
But still, because teachers are real and actual superheroes, many are still finding ways to tackle this challenging topic. And we heard from some of you about this.
Jerise in Washington Heights, New York, this semester. I'm teaching about the Renaissance and later. I want to focus more on the development of governmental structures, concepts such as citizenship and the ways in which groups of citizens have been able or not able to hold their governments accountable throughout that period.
Thanks to all the educators who called in to share with us, and thanks to all the teachers throughout the country who are working so hard in such challenging times. Because, of course, teachers matter. And last year's Capitol riot might be one of the clearest examples we have of just how much they matter.
These are the battles we're fighting right now over both whether we support our schools financially with proper funding, but also just whether we support a climate of learning and inquisition. You know, the fundamental question about education in America right now is, do we want to raise critical thinkers?
This is Will Bunch, national opinion columnist for the Philadelphia Inquirer. And earlier this week, Will penned a piece linking the attack on the Capitol to our national disinvestment in K-12 civics education.
I would say maybe around the 1980s when we start developing these new focuses on K-12 education to put such a greater emphasis on test scores and, you know, really in a couple different subjects, math and reading scores, and the educators started changing the curriculum in their schools so that kids would do better on these tests. And what got lost in that is, you know, the idea of a broad liberal education, as it's called, or someone called might call it a general education. You know, this idea that education is really kind of more about workforce development in the end than creating a well-rounded citizen. And so one subject that really, really has suffered a lot during this whole changing of the guard has been civics. You know, the classes that used to be kind of de rigueur in any kind of public high school or even middle school, where people took classes in how government worked, the old cliche of how a bill becomes a law, but people used to learn that in the classroom, you know, what the Supreme Court does and how many justices there are. That really became one of the first subjects to fall in this new regime, because that's something that's really geared towards making you a better citizen, not towards making you a better worker within the capitalist system.
Public schools, they started to emphasize test scores as the primary assessment of learning in the 80s, but the practice of high stakes testing became an almost singular driver of content and practice in K-12 public ed beginning 20 years ago with the passage of No Child Left Behind. And what No Child Left Behind meant is that every state was required to test every child in third through eighth grade every year. And the results weren't just benchmarks. Those test outcomes have serious consequences for schools and sometimes even for entire school systems. And they only focused on math and reading. So among the many consequences of this testing obsession has been severe underinvestment in the arts, sciences, and notably in civic, government, and social studies education. In fact, a 2018 report from the Brown Center on Education at the Brookings Institution showed math and reading scores initially increase and then plateau after No Child Left Behind was implemented. But the hours that elementary school kids received civic education, it dropped. And along with it, civic knowledge plummeted among American school kids.
We're so worried about our civil political society. You know, there's so much misinformation. There's so much division. And you just can't help but think that these two things are a coincidence, you know, that just in the last couple of years, the misinformation we've seen flourish about vaccines, about climate change, and now most dramatically in the last 13 or 14 months, you know, Donald Trump's big lie about the 2020 election, the the motivator behind the January 6th insurrection, would that have gained so much traction if we had a better educated, better informed citizenry about how elections work and how government works?
It's not just a matter of knowing how government works. The lessons of our civic education are the basis for building an equitable society or a resentful one.
This whole idea that in some schools, kids are just seen as fodder to be churned out for maybe the local factory, or if they're in a city, they talk about kids being on the McDonald's track, that at an early age, they're singled out as people who possibly aren't college material. And this idea of unequal opportunities and unequal access to learning opportunities, I think, is really behind a lot of the resentment that you see in society. And, Donald Trump was a master at playing off this resentment, that the media is looking down on you, the college professors are laughing at you, are looking down at you. And I think that's been just a big driver of division.
This does not mean hardworking social studies teachers are at fault for the violence at the Capitol last January. Research shows that despite disinvestment, many primary and secondary school teachers work hard to ensure their students learn the fundamentals of American history and government.
My name is Cassandra Dillard, and I'm a senior writer for Learning for Justice, which is a project of the Southern Poverty Law Center.
I spoke with Cassandra about her work with Learning for Justice, which provides free resources to educators who work with children from K through 12. And they've compiled helpful resources for teaching about January 6th. Cassandra pointed out that many teachers have a longstanding commitment to this kind of civics education.
Our audience, for example, they are committed to social justice education. They're committed to teaching the hard history and wanting the support, not just from us and other organizations, but also from their administrators, the principals, and the parents and communities to help do this work.
For much of 2021, the highly politicized battle over public school curriculum has been framed as a fight about critical race theory. But Will Bunch of the Philadelphia Inquirer told us this is a much larger and older fight about the fundamental purposes of public education.
You know, and this is debate we've been really having since the 1960s, since increasing college attendance was linked to more and more people protesting the war in Vietnam or protesting for civil rights. And I think what we're seeing now is a continuation of this 60-year-old conversation about what is the purpose of education? Is it to create better citizens, or is it to create workers who will be obedient but efficient workers in the workforce?
That was Will Bunch of the Philadelphia Inquirer. He's also the author of the forthcoming book, Resent You, How College Broke the American Dream and Divided the Nation and How to Fix It.